This is Janelle Yates, Senior Editor of OBG Management. Your patient may not necessarily ask about her specific concerns regarding postpartum sexuality, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare her for this important transitional period. In this audiocast, Dr. Roya Razayi offers practical strategies you can use to address the issue with your patient. Dr. Razayi is Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University Hospital's Case Medical Center, McDonald Women's Hospital, and Medical Director of the Women's Health Center at the University Hospital's Case Medical Center in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Razayi, what are the most common misperceptions that some clinicians have about postpartum sexuality?
I think probably the biggest one is that a couple or a woman resumes her sex life just spontaneously without any thought, and things just turn out well. Most clinicians are unaware that they can actually make this transition much easier.
If you could change one thing about counseling patients about postpartum sexuality, what would it be and why?
Probably the thing that I would like to change the most would be the timing of the counseling. I find it a little disappointing that the vast majority of this counseling occurs only after a patient makes us aware of the fact that she may be experiencing a problem. Whereas I think it would be so much better if this were just part of our normal care and that we felt comfortable enough to bring it up and discuss it even preconceptually at a GYN visit. But of course, during her antenatal care, would also be more ideal than just at a postpartum visit.
What are your top five recommendations for preparing patients for the postpartum resumption of sexual activity?
The first thing that I recommend is that they communicate about when this will happen and how this will happen and what the woman and her partner would like to happen, because the communication sets up all of the following recommendations, as well as prepares them to have a positive outcome. The second thing that I recommend is that in order for them to have a smooth transition, they need to have protected time. So they need to prepare and not count on this to be a spontaneous moment, at least the first time, because they largely have a lot of competing responsibilities at this time in their life, and things do work out better if they set time aside to start this process. The third recommendation I usually make is that they understand expectations for themselves as well as for their partner. And so this goes back to the first recommendation, is that they need to communicate with one another. And what I mean by expectations is that they see where each other is coming from and what their hopes and desires are for at least this first encounter. The fourth recommendation plays off the first three, which is that they consider the fact that intercourse should not be the ultimate act of their sexual activity, at least in the early part of this period of resumption. That they should be prepared to adjust their plan, and that they understand that there are many non-coital related activities that they can can use to pleasure one another. That could be something as simple as kissing and holding one another, and that they should feel comfortable if that is all that occurs during this first attempt at resuming sexual activity. And then the fifth recommendation I usually make is that as they're prepared to adjust their activities and that they're flexible and that they understand that they're going to need to use lubricant, especially if the woman is still breastfeeding, and that is something that the partner should not take as a sign of a lack of desire on the woman's part, but really just more for comfort.
Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to say about the subject?
I think that we should be just as concerned about this aspect of her life as we are concerned with her contraceptive needs and whether or not she is incontinent. I think that those of us who are uncomfortable ought to educate ourselves about sexuality and the needs of women and their partners, because familiarity and knowledge will bring them confidence and comfort in discussing the subject matter. And if not, if this is something that just isn't part of a provider's repertoire, then I think that they should at least be able to identify the issues she may have and then be able to refer her to someone who can help her.
Thank you, Dr. Razai. For more on this topic, see the article entitled How to Prepare Your Patient for the Many Nuances of Postpartum Sexuality by Dr. Razai and Dr. Cheryl Kingsburg in the January 2012 issue at obgmanagement.com.